When darkness falls, when worlds collide, when the icy grip of evil threatens the last free land, the fate of all shall rest in the hands of one.
The shaman believed how you drag us to guilt. Split tongue delegation in the house of complication that you built. To tame, to keep us under, solemnly behind the chants, robed in gowns of fine weave, offered readings. You are the killers, smooth how you fill us with pain. Regulation of compassion, your creation, my brother Cain. No forgiving, no forgetting, deliver this bloodletting easily within your skin, without the reins of conscience flicking pleading. The sin of it all. You are the brothers touched by the legions marched in shame. Of the laws of situation, loss and gain. Paragraphs and sentences for defiance and repentances, wigged upon the oaken bench, hard as bolted minds to break, noses held above the stench of life.
So that was Old Gods by Jump from their new album Over the Top, and I'm fortunate enough to be joined by John Dexter Jones of said band. Good afternoon, John. So we've kicked off with a song from the new record, John, one of my personal favourites, Old Gods. It's not been out very long, Over the Top. What's the response been to it, what plans have you got to tour it? I know I saw you in Rotherham the other night, but I think there's a few more dates you've got planned, aren't there?
Into the album has been, I think it's fair to say, universally positive. It's gone down really, really well. I think sometimes, you know, we've always had this kind of eclectic tag. So, you know, it's always been unexpected things and different stuff. We've never really been stuck in one kind of genre. But then I think this album, perhaps above others, maybe this one and the Black Pilgrim, actually, the last two, above others, they've kind of hung together in spite of things. And so there seems to be a flow to this one, and there's nothing that's interrupted that flow for the listeners. And so, yeah, it's been a great response to it. We've been delighted with it. And as regards going out and taking it out live, I mean, you know, we don't kind of tour in the classical sense of things. We go out and we do events, really. There's no point pretending that, you know, that Jump on a tour bus and we're out there and we're going to do 6 weeks here and there, because we're not. That's not how life in rock and roll works for us anymore. It's 26 years into the band now. In the first 3 years of the band, that was very much the case. We were out 4 and 5 nights a week. Now it's a case of sort of going somewhere, sticking, you know, putting a gig on in a good place, comfortable place where people, you know, can come from perhaps central locations where people can get to and come and join us, and then we'll go out there and do them. So we've got a number of those things coming up all around the country. We started in Cardiff. We did 2 gigs in Aylesbury in a week, but that was because Fish invited us to open for him on the Misplaced Childhood tour. This one gig in Aylesbury, which was hugely special for him and for us, which was fantastic. Then we played in Aylesbury in a gig that we'd had booked for ages anyway, as a kind of album launch thing. Then you saw us in Rotherham. And then the next one, we're off up to Bangor, which is where I'm from. That's another story in North Wales. And then this little sequence of gigs comes to a close in a church in Milton Keynes, which is nice, with Katie Buckhaven. And then we take off into the summer. We're playing Cambridge Rock Festival. That's on the Classic Rock Society stage. Then we move into the Midlands. We do one in Wolverhampton. And then we go to back up to your neck of the woods, where we got a gig with Life Signs. We've done a number of gigs with John Young and Life Signs. Fantastic combination. That seems to be, works really well. So we're coming up to do that for the CRS. We've got a gig, and this is a bit of an exclusive, and I can't really divulge anything other than to say that we've got a gig in Glasgow, and that's been confirmed today, in fact. So that's really good, but I can't tell you any more about that yet. And then we finish off the year at Danfest, a gig that we're both familiar with. In fact, you and I have been known to have a beer at Danfest. That has happened. So really, that's the background to Over the Top. And I know that you particularly like Old Gods. Old Gods has been a track that's been around for a while, over a year since we debuted it as a track. But that's been a feature of what we do with Jump. It's, some of the stuff is brand new, never been heard. Some of the stuff has been heard for quite a while and then knocked into shape live. The original rendition of Old Gods, probably a bit different from the one that you hear now. But now it's been around. So, yeah, I've probably spoken enough about Over the Top and Old Gods in particular.
Hello, I'm Frankie Boyle. This is how I sound when I'm on stage. You're listening to Brian Watson on the North American Prod podcast on Proxilla.com.
You've chosen some other tracks for us that we're going to play throughout the hour. We're going to close out with another of my favourites from Over the Top. But we're going to start off with some live Wishbone. If you want to tell us about that choice.
Yeah, Wishbone Ash has been around in my kind of musical consciousness since the mid-1970s, when my, you know, we were all there listening to pop music when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, whatever. And then I had a cousin, Bryn, who came, he was my dad's brother's son, and he was brought up in Scunthorpe because my dad's brother, Uncle John, he was a professional footballer, and he moved from Bangor City to Liverpool, and he played for Liverpool, and then he played for Scunthorpe, which meant that I had kind of English / Welsh cousins, and of course they came from the big city, Scunthorpe. And so Bryn brought down stuff when we were listening to T-Rex and Gary Glitter and The Sweet and all that. He brought us Led Zeppelin and Wishbone Ash and Steely Dan and stuff like that. And so this was a huge part of my musical education began there. And Wishbone Ash was one of the first things. And he brought Argus down with him. And, you know, he used to come on holiday back to Wales. Well, not back to Wales because he lived in Scunthorpe. But he used to come to his spiritual home, you know, the family kind of thing. And, of course, he played as this stuff. And I don't know, Led Zeppelin was there. And I think we'll go on to that later. But I think when I first heard Argus, it was just like, blimey, where's this been all my life? And of course, neatly, just that twin guitar thing fitted. I was already listening to Thin Lizzy and all that. That twin guitar thing, I just absolutely loved it. I've always had this kind of folk bent, if you like, coming from Wales, because we're brought up on folk music, whether we like it or not. We have forced to sing it at, you know, kind of not quite gunpoint, but we're forced to sing in school all the time. And so that kind of folk sensibility in amongst that electric guitars, yeah, stuff that we wanted just struck an immediate chord with me. And of course, much, much later on, 20 more years later than that, guess what? You know, I supported Wishbone Ash at the Limelight Club in Crewe. And a friend of mine, Ray Weston, who was originally in the Average White Band, was playing drums in them as well with them. And so there's a few of those musical loops that have taken place in my life where I've been listening to records when I was a kid, and then I've ended up playing with those bands, and certainly with Wishbone Ash that night in Crewe. It was hugely special because I just stood in the audience like a kid while they played King Will Come and Warrior and Throw Down the Sword and all that. Wow, what a night that was. And so that's why I've chosen that. The Wishbone Ash for me is about that kind of hard rock, thoughtful, musical, lyrical, gets you in the heart, all overlaid with this kind of folk thing that's never ever been far away from me.
Fabulous.
Perhaps if we were to cast off these cumbersome robes.
So the next track we're going to play, John, you may well have to help me with the pronunciation of it. Branwen, I'm good with, but the rest of it, I have to admit, I struggle a little bit with.
So it's Hiraeth Anveiron, and it's the longing for Meirionnithshire, basically, or not Meirionnithshire, the county, because this is going back a long way. But for that region, the Meirionnydd region of Wales. The Branwen album is just a beautiful album. It came to my attention through my older brother, actually, funnily enough. He said, oh, you'd like this. And he played it me, and then lo and behold, I discover that one of my mates who I used to play cricket against is playing guitar on it, because it's his brother's collaboration with his brother, Bedwyr. Bedwyr and Tidir, the two brothers. And then with some pretty, I think, notable Irish musicians, certainly Irish musicians who've become notable since. But I'll let your listeners look them up. Because they might know more than me. All I know is, like I say, Bedwyr was a good batsman, so was I. He played for Llangefni, I played for Bangor. Both of us were decent cricketers in our younger days, and we actually carried on playing cricket. Probably, I think I played with Beds for North Wales and all sorts. And then music took over both our lives. It replaced sport. There was an evolution, whatever. Anyway, I just always put this album on when I've got home from somewhere or whatever, and I'm back in the south of England and I've been home or whatever, and I put it on, and then again by one of those strange loops social media enables, lots of them, what came up on my feed but a track by Bedwyr Morgan, and I thought, oh wow, and I got in touch with him on Facebook, and we're back in touch, and there's talks either later this year or doing early next year of doing a gig with Beds' band Mojo. Beds is a good guitar player, he's still playing, he's in a popular Welsh band, and he's played with a lot of Welsh musicians over the years. And so to hook up with him and to sort of congratulate him on his part on the Branwen album only recently was something that gave me great pleasure. This stuff I just love, and the playing on it, the atmosphere of it, I can't get enough. But I can't really, your listeners must decide about that. But that's the story behind that selection.
Yn y môr y byddo'r mynydd sydd yn cuddio bro meirionydd o na chawn i olwg arni cyn i'r galon dirion dorri. Cyn i'r galon dirion dorri.
iTunes is telling me it dates from 1991, which is, if I'm not mistaken, when your debut, Winds of Change, came out, is it? I guess people can go to the website if they want more information about dates and whatnot, jumprock.co.uk.
That's the one. They can go there and they can find and they can listen to stuff. They just go on there. There's all the usual links, you know, to YouTube, so they can have a look at Our Ugly Mugs doing various performances of older stuff than that, because we haven't got any new YouTube stuff yet, but that's coming. They can go to Bandcamp and they can listen to stuff, so they can have a listen to or any one of the tracks of our 13 albums and our two live albums, and they can hear stuff first. And then if they want to buy it, they can. If they want to find out gig dates again, yeah, that's all on the site. You just click on all the links and it takes you straight back to Facebook and stuff, where you can find out what, you know, what we're currently doing, and obviously get that latest news stuff. I'm glad that you said it about the new material being strong, or rather the gigs that we've been doing it in, which have only numbered a few, have been just, it's felt great to do. And I'll tell you something, mate, going on stage in Aylesbury Waterside Theatre and playing a song for the first ever time in its life in front of a full house supporting Phish was quite an experience. And that fell to Sir Thomas and the passerby, and that just felt like $1 million doing that. I've got to be honest, I was like a child.
Next up, we've got some Zeppelin. I think it's fair to say there's a little Zepp homage sometimes in the set at the end.
Dude. Good evening, this is Fiona Phillips. You're listening to Progzilla.com with the scrumptious Brian Watson.
That was Ramble On by the incomparable Led Zeppelin, and your next choice is by a band that I'm particularly fond of, and I've chosen, unbeknownst to you, a live version of it, and I'm pleased that at the start of the interview you mentioned that this was one of your favourite live albums, because it's one of mine also. So do you want to tell us why you've chosen Red Barchetta, John?
The first guitar player I worked with, Hugh Hayward, my best friend, my friend from school, you know, he loved Rush. He introduced us to Rush, really. Spirit of the Radio came out, but Hugh said, you know, you've got to listen to this, you've got to listen to this. And absolutely just fabulous. Rush from Toronto, my cousin in Canada. I have a cousin in Canada. My dad had two brothers. He absolutely doesn't like Rush at all. He just likes Bob Dylan. and so he was like, Rush, you know, when I went to stay in Toronto, I'd be pointing out graffiti on the sewage pipe, you know, look, Rush. And he'd be like, you don't like those guys. I say, yeah, I do. And Moving Pictures is in my top 10 albums of all time. It is absolutely, I could play it any day of the week at any time. It is just a superb collection of songs, in my view, and I can say it because I'm not as dyed-in-the-wool Rush as a lot of my friends are. It's their best album, as far as I'm concerned, without a shadow of a doubt. I was lucky enough to go to Deeside Leisure Centre in Queens Ferry in North Wales and see that being performed, and therefore I think that was the album that led to Exit Stage Left, wasn't it? No.
This is a song about a car.
Force. Use Progzilla, Luke.
Back at the folky end of the spectrum for your next one, a Steel Eye Spam track. Do you want to tell us about that choice, John?
And at that time that we were listening to all those pop singles in the early 70s, in the mid-70s, and I was 12 in 1975, there was a guy, one of my school friends, his brother, his elder brother, was another of these people, like my cousin Bryn, that sort of, me and my friend John Holmes were listening to pop things and taping stuff off Top of the Pops, all of which I consider to be, you know, I'm not one of these people that looks back on that pop music and thinks, oh, you know, why ever was I listening to that? Because a lot of the pop sensibilities that have stayed with me all the way through came from taping that stuff. I still think it was great. I still think that those recordings by The Sweet, you know, and Gary Glitter and stuff, and okay, whatever else goes with that, the sounds that came from them, T-Rex and all of that sort of stuff, it was really important. But then it did become superseded and added to, and another fantastic layer was added. And my friend John's brother Alan, who was older than us, he's 2 or 3 years older than us, and he introduced me to, you know, Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Pink Floyd, and he was playing Genesis and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, some of it was a bit impenetrable for, you know, us at 11, 12-year-olds and whatever. But, of course, what happened was that Steel Eye Spam released All Around My Hat, and something, watching that on Top of the Pop, struck a massive chord with me at the same time as my cousin Bryn was playing me, you know, Wishbone Ash and whatever. And it's this kind of folk thing, tuneful, so lyrical, harmony, you know, wow, think of that. But still it had this kind of electric guitar through it and whatever. And then, of course, Alan Holmes, John's elder brother, pulls out a whole bunch of stuff, Commoner's Crown, and a whole bunch of Steel Eye Spam albums. So it's not just All Around My Hat anymore. It's Blackjack Davy and all of this sort of stuff, and Cadgwith Anthem and stuff. And you're just thinking, oh, man, I just love this stuff. And so I would have chosen All Around My Hat, but I thought the listeners might be thinking they tuned into the wrong station. So I thought, well, we'll go with Come You for France, because I absolutely love it. It's a kind of sniping kind of, oh, you came over, did you? You know, all of this kind of thing. There's a kind of history that I won't go into. People can look into that themselves. Being Welsh, that has a lovely resonance as well for me. So that's another thing that people can look into themselves about, you know, folk songs that were written to kind of pillory, I think it's fair to say. Anyway, and another of those loops, and this has been behind some of my selections, this loop that we talk about, you know, loving Steel Eye Spam as a 12-year-old kid and listening, being given to listen to all these albums by my friend's elder brother and whatever, and thinking, wow, there's just a whole load of this stuff out there for me to listen to. Of course, 2 years ago, was it the year before last, where did we end up with Jump? Playing HRH, and we're on one before Steel Eye Spam, sharing a stage with Maddie Pryor on the same night. Well, boy, you know, I'm an admirer of Rick Wakeman, you know, I admire Yes. I'm not a fan, I'm not a fan of Yes. But to share the stage with Maddie Pryor and Steel Eye Spam was just, and then to stand there in front of them while they played some of those songs, again, was just one of those Wishbone Ash moments and stuff. And I've been lucky enough to do that. So yeah, this, I don't know which version you've chosen of this, but there's a few fantastic live versions of it on YouTube. Maddie Pryor is just awesome. Just, bah, can't say any more. So yeah, Come Here from France.
Lumber Geordie. arrived again. Brian was going to try and make me do another weather report, but I'm still trapped in his sex dungeon.
Next up, we have another one of my personal favourites, a track by Fish from the Sunsets on Empire album, which has just been not that long ago remastered, and very nice it is too. Tell us about this one, John.
We did the tour. Jump supported Fish on the 1997 Sunsets on Empire tour. We did all the British dates, and that was a great experience. And every night we'd do our thing, we'd do our support slot, we'd get to the merchandise, and then we'd sell what we could, and then we'd all get back in. It didn't matter where it was, you got back inside and you watched the first 10 minutes, because the first 10 minutes was this song. And there were three guitar players in Fish's band on that tour, and they all had to stand in the spotlight at the start of that gig and play that riff, this riff that you're about to hear. And it was just, you know, powerful, really, really powerful. Of course, a couple of weeks ago, we supported Fish again, for old time's sake, to quote him, in Aylesbury, where he wrote the lyrics for Misplaced Childhood. We supported him on that gig. He sat up in the gods and we watched Misplaced Childhood that was written in Aylesbury, and the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, and you just, because you're around the corner from the canal, you're just across from where Friars used to be, you're just across from the railway sidings, you know the history. But I'll tell you something, when the Misplaced Childhood section of the show was finished and we sat up in the gods and that Robin started that riff, and it was 18 years ago, and it was just so powerful. And it was just a tremendous example of the power of music to move at the time back in 1997, to be relevant, to be prescient, to move you, to grab you and whatever. And so it did a couple of weeks ago when it started again. It just came, all came back, and yet there it was, still with the same power and intensity and the same meaning and the same questions being asked through the music. And it just got me. And so, yeah, what else can I say apart from just spend the next 2 hours talking about how my career has touched base with Fish and Marillion and Mick Pointer and whatnot right the way through. So, yeah, Perceptions of Johnny Punter.
Just another nigger, a spooky piece of white trash. Just another Jew boy, speak Nick, yip, raghead, motherfucker, living on the planet. We'll be right back.
days you just wake up and you don't have any real sense of direction. You just can't find the will to get up and go through with it all. Your next allotted 24-hour slice of destiny. It's just a bad vibe, and rather than a world of opportunities, it's full of threats and just too many negative variables. I notice these houses way up in the hill, and I try to imagine what it would have been like living up there, isolated from the world. Every night watching the fires crawl slowly down the valley, and knowing that one night it was going to be your turn for the visit. I try and imagine what it would have been like hiding in a cellar with your family in the fear, hoping that when they do come, when the dogs don't bark and the silence is around you, you hope that they burn the whole house around your ears and they don't discover you hiding in the cellar because you've got nowhere to go. And you know that one day that something is going to happen. There's one day. Just one day.
This is Not the American Prog Show, and you've been listening to me, Brian Watson, with special guest John Dexter Jones of Jump. If you get a chance to see the band live, please do. You will not be disappointed. Me and John finished up a review of some of the music that means the most to him with a track from the new Jump album, Over the Top, and End of Days.
It's become something that really feels like it works really strongly. Again, we played five songs supporting Fish a couple of weeks ago, and we chose that as one of them, and it got a definite, you know, kind of obvious positive response. There's a couple of songs on Over the Top that run in a row. They run back to front. The Vagrant song, Behind the Lines, End of Days and Old Gods, or other, I think, yeah, that's right, it goes that way, the wrong way around. I'm not making sense now, so you can edit all this out. The point I'm trying to make is that End of Days is a song really that follows from the sentiments of Old Gods, so it's interesting that you've chosen one to put at the beginning and one to put at the end. If the listeners listen to both tracks and they put them that way around, they'll hear old gods about, let me just phrase this carefully. If you like, it's an idea, if you like, about religion, politics and the justice system, how that plays into people's lives. And End of Days is a revenge song about, and End of Days could be sung by either of the characters in the Vagrant Song or Behind the Lines if they were ever to meet the people that put them in the positions that they're in. Let's just say that. I'd die.
It's all a little strange. Will no one heed the call? Who accepts the orders? Who dignifies the fall? It's all a little odd, a little few and far between. The fools, the bloody minds, all embracing their routines. We live and learn. Survival of the beast. Regard the dogs from distance at the celebration feast. We have few dreams, and we have fewer hopes yet. And we have red eyes in the morning, and we have silence, not one single note to set into this orchestra of loathing, and the sour truth dawning. And we will not forget this pain at the end. Debate. It's delivered, signed and sealed, thrown into the rising tide, or buried in a distant field. No compunction in the frame, reviled and swept aside, squared in common circles, predictably denied. We have few dreams, and we have fewer hopes yet. And we have red eyes in the morning, and we have silence, not one single note to set into this orchestra of loathing, and the sour truth's dawning. And we will not forget this pain at the end of day.
failed me for the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.